And be seated. Hey, we get to be back in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And we've covered quite a bit of territory. The Beatitudes we talked about, salt and light. And when people are persecuting us, realize that we can really be salt and light in this world. And that will solve a lot of our problems. Jesus then talked to us about murder, really calling someone a fool is equivalent. He said, because it all has to do with the heart. Same with adultery, divorce, oaths, lots of other things that he's covered. And we finally finished with the Lord's Prayer section there in chapter 6. And then we get to the point where Jesus goes to meddling. He begins to talk to us about money and possessions and giving. He begins there in verse 19 where he says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth." So really he's getting into it now. He's dealing with something that is really close to our hearts. I mean, you got to make a living, right? You got to have some money in the bank and those kinds of things. And so Jesus begins to talk to us about that, because even that can be abused. Even that can be something that we really need to take note of. It's an important matter. So storing up treasure is the topic, and where to store it up is really even more specific. The first thing he talks to us about, though, is the matter at hand, and that's in the first several verses, verse 19 through 21. So read along with me if you have your text. This is Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, then your heart will be also." So he talks to us about three areas: clothing, food, and money. He'll deal with clothing and food a little later on when he talks about anxieties and not to be anxious about these things. But before we get to that, which we'll talk about next week, we'll look at these three things. The clothing and the food and the money are areas in our lives, believe it or not, we can be very insecure. I mean, with those people back in their time, back in Jesus' times, imagine how hard it was to keep secure about things like clothing and, I mean, and food. They didn't have refrigerators, so what do you do with food? You eat it real quick, you know, and you don't save any leftovers for it because they don't last. They're really gone in a hurry. As he says there, with the clothing, the moth are going to come in and eat it up. And when it comes to the food, and they're going to be the vermin around. Who's going to keep the weevils out of the flour? Who's going to keep the rats out of the food that you've stored in your cupboard? It's going to be very difficult. And when it comes to money, have you ever thought about how the ancient people were able to lock their doors? I mean, how did they do that? Surely at some point the idea of a key and a lock came into existence, but there was a time before that where, I mean, you're at the mercy. You're going to have to hide your money, and definitely don't hide it under your mattress. That'll be the first place they look, but you're going to have to do something. And so there's a lot of insecurity during Jesus' days, and wouldn't you say that's true now too? Don't we also kind of worry a little too much and put too much value into our clothing and maybe our food, or at least just simply eating? I mean, you want to eat, and of course money. Maybe you saw this week. I saw it, and it was a kind of a shock. It was a picture of a house in Southern California. Nice looking house. It was a mid-century modern, you know, the kind that, you know, I Dream of Jeannie lived in, you know, and those kind of houses back then that were really cool, and you can still find them if you travel around somewhere. And the guy said, I'm a Californian, and I want to live in California. This was under the picture of this beautiful house. And he said, but this house costs, catch this, $2.8 million. $2.8 million. And I feel for our younger generations that how are they going to be able to pay for something like that? It's almost impossible. Here in Austin, houses have gone up. I mean, they've tripled and quadrupled in what you paid for them. Well, maybe some of you paid way back then, and you didn't pay very much at all now. I mean, the house my mother bought when I was in high school cost $20,000. And it wasn't hard to do. And so it becomes this feeling of insecurity. You want to make more money because you have all these needs and you want to be secure. And it's very difficult. But here's the question from this. When Jesus says not to store up your treasures on earth, do you think he's talking about savings accounts? Is Jesus saying you can't have a savings account? You can't invest in things. You can't have stocks. You can't have those kinds of things. Is that what Jesus is saying? Well, I don't think so. The wisest man that God ever made wise on the face of the earth was Solomon. And Solomon in Proverbs 6 tells us to pay attention to the ant, because the ant during the summertime stores up items, and during the fall and the harvest puts aside food for the winter. And so here we have the Bible on the one hand telling us not to maybe get over involved in the issues of money and things, but on the other hand, make sure that you store up. And so there's not anything wrong with savings accounts. Jesus isn't saying do not store up for yourselves things as much as he's saying, notice the word, treasures. Treasures are things in your heart that you really are fascinated with. You really want more of. I mean, how many people haven't watched these programs where these sailors get out on these boats and go out and they're looking for some sunken treasure? And they'll put on their scuba outfits and they'll go down because their radar picked up something down below. And sometimes it turns out it's a Spanish galleon, you know, that sunk sometime way back. And it's loaded with gold, you know, and their eyes just gleam, you know, gold. We've got this treasure down below. I think that's why Jesus talks to us, or what Jesus talks to us about. It's this idea of where we put our treasure, what we really value the most. So don't store up for yourselves treasures that are treasures that you find here on earth. In other words, you put all of your heart into it. You store up treasures, he goes on to say, though, instead, in heaven. So there's, again, nothing wrong with treasures. It's what you treasure. Is it earthly things, or is it heavenly, spiritual things? And I think we know the answer to that. It's spiritual things. They're not destroyed by moths or by vermin, and thieves don't break in and steal the treasures that you store in heaven. They're guarded for you by God, and whatever those are that Jesus talks about, they're things that are in heaven and they're spiritual things. So that's the matter at hand that he deals with. Then he turns to the matter of light and darkness in the next paragraph. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I said, well, boy, he really gets to the point here on us, and it has to do with light, again, light and godliness and goodness and heavenly things, and then darkness, which are earthly things. And if we put all of our treasures, put all our heart in the things of this world, then we're putting it into what ultimately leads to darkness in our lives. Whereas if we put, on the other hand, all of our treasures in heavenly things, they'll be there waiting for us, and they will survive, and they'll cause light in our lives. R. Kent Hughes tells a story of a woman who died of malnutrition. Well, that's not totally unusual, because that happens, unfortunately, to people. But the story is, when they then went and investigated, they found the little apartment she lived in was just a mess, and broken down furniture and all of that kind of stuff. And she was an elderly lady, and so had lived there a long time like that. But they found two keys, and the two keys were keys to safety deposit boxes at two different banks. And so they went and they unlocked the first one, and they found 700 securities from AT&T stocks. And they found other stocks and bonds from other places. They also found $200,000 in cash. Wow, that's a lot. But it wasn't the end of the story. They then went with the other key to the other bank, and they opened it. And there weren't any stocks and bonds, but there was $700,000 in cash in that strong box. And so she had over $1 million almost in cash. And with all the other, I mean, surely maybe another million. And yet she was known in her neighborhood as the one who would come and knock on people's doors and beg food for people. She bought her clothing from Salvation Army. Hey, nothing wrong with that. We do that every once in a while, because there's some cool stuff, you know, you can find at Goodwill and all that kind of stuff. You know, some old T-shirts that are, you know, from the past that you want to keep. My grandsons do that to some extent. But nevertheless, this woman lived as if she was in poverty, even though she had everything at her disposal. You know, mental illness, would you say? That she had mental illness, yeah, surely. But she's still a good example for us, because in a sense, in a true sense, I think Jesus is saying to us that we have some kind of a mental illness, a spiritual mental illness, if we put all of our hopes and all of our treasures in the things of this world. Wouldn't you agree with that? That would be mental illness. From a spiritual standpoint, is to put too much. And that's what Jesus, I think, is telling us. It's either looking to the light, which is good and healthy for you, or it is, is looking to the world or to darkness, and the worldly things as your treasures. And, it just brings darkness into your life. You know, it's not good at all. It's really a matter of spiritual health. Jesus said in Luke 12, another location, but in the same topic, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. Now, that still relates, because covetousness is wanting maybe what other people have, but it's not necessarily that, just wanting that and hoarding it to yourself. And so Jesus says, take care and be on guard against this particular thing of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You know, you look around the world today, and maybe even in our own neck of the woods, maybe in our own home, and you really wonder if we agree with that life doesn't consist in the abundance of our possessions. Seems to me like with a lot of folks, you look around, that is what their life consists of. And that is what's the most important thing. And as God's people, of course, Jesus is saying, don't let that happen to you. Take care and guard against that in your life. And the other one that you guys all could quote, fill in the blanks if we had it, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole, fill in the blank, world and forfeit his soul? What good is it, he says, if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? Good question. And that's the difference between the light and the darkness. The light is where you look to what is good. By the way, if your Bible has footnotes that define words, and you look at the word healthy in verse 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. Your eye, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Look at the footnote for healthy, if you have it. Doesn't it say generous? The Greek word can also be interpreted and implies the idea of being generous. A healthy person, a healthy soul, is someone who instead of gathers things to themselves, when they're blessed and have things, they're generous with those things to other people. You know, if you're extremely covetous, if you really put your treasure in earthly things, the last thing you want to do is give any of that away. And that's unhealthy. And so if you look at the footnote for the word unhealthy, which is found in the next verse, verse 22 was the first one. This one is verse 23. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. What's unhealthy? If you look at the footnote, mine says the word is stingy. If you're stingy. You ever known somebody who's stingy? You know, you just know. I mean, they're not going to part with anything. You know, we're not going to give anybody anything because it's mine. Now, that's being stingy. And the Greek word actually has that as an additional meaning in this word. And so we could interpret Jesus saying the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eyes are generous, you see things other people needing, and you share with those people. You're very generous with what you have. You invite them into your home and feed them, or you help them in some way. But on the other hand, if your eyes are stingy, the last thing you're going to do is help other people. And so that's why there's the light and the darkness. One of them is godliness, and the other is, to a great extent, godlessness. One is a healthy thing for you to be generous, and the other is an unhealthy thing to be stingy for other people. That's why Jesus said we need to take care in our life. It's that important. And so he ends up with the last paragraph, really just one verse, verse 24. That we probably all know by heart, could finish it. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, that's pretty definitive. I mean, that's pretty absolute what he's saying here. You just can't juggle those things. We come into the world and we think as a Christian, well, I can have the cry, I can have prayer, but on the other hand, I can have in my life. And he's saying, you really can't do that. It's going to have to be an either or option. You can't have, you can't serve God while at the same time you're serving money. That makes sense, actually, doesn't it? It makes sense to me. I mean, doesn't mean you're not sometimes concerned. You know, you got a bill to pay and you're looking at, oh, how am I going to do this? You know, some of those kind of things happen in life. But that's even then, not serving God when you're too worried about those things, you know. And if it hasn't happened to you, it may happen. Just wait. It's kind of the, you know, the what's in your wallet kind of question, you know. Really, what's in your heart, you know, is your choice. I read this week that Money Magazine came out with an article, and they talked about, you know, this is Money Magazine, America's number one obsession. Can you guess what it is? Hint, hint, it's Money Magazine. So what's the number one obsession? Money. Boy, let me have money. They even wrote a song about it back in my generation, you know, with the cash register chinking in the background, you know. Money! You know, money is what we are obsessed with, is what they say in Money Magazine. Well, Newsweek said that we have entered a new plane of consciousness. Boy, this sounds really, well, this is cool, man. A new plane of consciousness, you know. We were all about consciousness again in my generation and all those kinds of things. And they call it, Newsweek does, this new plane of consciousness, transcendental acquisition. Transcendental acquisition. That's the new plane of consciousness, to get, to acquire more, more, more. You know, I want money. It is the number one obsession. But Jesus teaches us from this, in this last verse especially, you can't do that. If you're to be a Christian, you can't serve. Money cannot be your number one obsession. You can't be into the new transcendental consciousness of acquisition. That's not for us. Some are like that. You see people in the world and they're just gathering stuff. And that is for what they think is their ultimate security. You know, sometimes it goes through my mind. I do this every once in a while over my lifetime. I've thought about these people that have, let's just say, 1,000 acres, and they've got a half a dozen kids. Well, when they die, if they still have the 1,000, and they divide it up equally, then the next generation only has a small amount, 100-something acres. Is that right? Something like that? You do the math. I mean, 140 or 170, something like whatever it is. And then they have families. And then they die and they pass their stuff on. Before you know it, you're down to just like a postage stamp-sized piece of property that your forefathers left you. That's the way possessions are. They just reduce until they're no longer there. And so the idea of serving these things when they don't really truly serve you back doesn't make sense. But we think they do because they make us more comfortable. They make us more confident. They make us more, feeling more secure in our lives. The other hand though is to serve God for our security. And if you were a betting person, don't be, but if you were a betting person, which of those would you bet on in life? The material things or the spiritual things? What's the spiritual things? You wouldn't choose them both. That's what Jesus is saying. These things are things where we ought to make a decision. And one of the questions to ask then, in order to think about where we're at ourselves personally, is what are the things that you use to measure other people? How do you, when you assess, now there is a successful person, what do you say? What do you think? What comes to mind? Kind of helps us understand who we are. Well, boy, the guy that drives the Maserati, now that's a successful person. The one that lives in that exclusive neighborhood, ooh, man, what a person that must be, you know. The one that has no problems at all when it comes to those kinds of things. They just do whatever they want to. If we measure others by those things, that says those are our values ourselves. Those are the things that we value. That's why we're not to covet, but it's also why we're not to envy. There is a text in the Old Testament, again written by Solomon. I don't know where it is right away. I didn't look it up today, this week, but he actually says, don't envy the wealthy. And he goes on to elaborate on it, but don't envy them. Instead, of course, consider the more godly things. That's not in that text, but that's kind of where it's going on. Let me close out with this little story that I also ran across this week. And I thought, man, this could almost be one of us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insult you, but this woman was so deep in debt. But she loved diving, you know, scuba diving, and she flew on credit to the East Indies and spent all this gobs of money to dive. She was already just completely in debt. And when they asked her about it, she said, I've spoiled myself and I can't change my habits. You know, I'm so into experiencing the things of this world. And it is so important to me that I'm willing to just get deeper and deeper and deeper into debt for those kinds of things. And so things can really become your master. And you can become a prisoner of those things, which is, of course, what Jesus would add as well. And so instead of letting those things become your master in serving them, Jesus is saying, let God be your master, and he'll take care of all those things. In fact, that's the very next thing he goes to, which you'll look at next week. Don't worry about your life and what you need. God will help take care of that. Don't you believe that? Don't be anxious in your life. Anxiety comes from the fact that we lack, or we're afraid we might lack what we think is so important in our lives. And Jesus is telling us, and we'll look at it next week, don't worry about those things. And your life will be really better. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have the invitation. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Again, such a nice day, Lord, to give us. Thank you so much for the way that you bless us, even with something as simple as the weather, and really as complex as the weather, Lord. How wonderful you are in creating this wonderful world, and we have everything here given to us for our pleasure and for our goodness. Thank you for this lesson that teaches us not to be self-centered on things and for ourselves and amassing more things and feeling secure in those. But Lord, we thank you for you and your Son and the security that you give us. Bless us now as we go to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.